Good morning. Welcome to our service today. Great to have you gathered together with us, and great to have some cars in the parking lot. Toot your horn if you're out there in the park. Yeah, I can hear that. We have about 25 cars that are gathered here today, and I was able to go out and enjoy some distance fellowship with some of them. Of course, they get to see me on the live stream, but I don't get to see them. And so that was a great privilege for me to go out and be able to say hello. And I appreciate everyone that's taken the time to gather together, either right away this morning live or will be listening later to the broadcast that we have today. And what a privilege it is to gather together in the name of the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to each one of you mothers. And I trust that you will have a special day today. Men, don't forget to thank your wives for the many hours of ministry and labor that they put into bringing up your children and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they would sure love to hear a word of encouragement from you and appreciate greatly what is done. Boy, Karen has upped her A game. She comes now with pictures and a hippo and a Jeep and everything. And so I've got to work on my game, I guess, now. But I really enjoyed that story that Karen had in the early hour there, and I thought it was good. And she's encouraging some discussion between parents and children this afternoon, and I hope that that takes place. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, this morning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. Wow, being a mom in 2020 must be a challenging task. For one, you have all the things going on in normal life, and you're having to try to deal with technology, even though you may not fully understand technology. And I really caution you, parents, especially those with young people, to be careful how early you allow your children to be engaged with those types of electronics. Number one, it's really not good for them physically, especially before the age of 2 and 3. And even just becoming adapted to that so quickly, be really careful of that. But moms are trying to stay ahead of the curve, so to speak, and even just understanding what their children may be getting into or able to get into. So you've got the technological age. Now you've got the COVID age that we are in. And again, that has just increased the amount of responsibility and concern for a mom. And I'm sure that becomes very challenging. And then at the same time, you have all these people writing about how to be a great mom. In fact, some of them make it sound like you have to have a goat and a sheep and a dog in order to be the perfect parent. You'd be able to raise them on your own homestead with a 2-acre garden and all that to boot. And I want you to know, moms, you don't have to have all those things, and you don't have to listen to all those ladies writing, some of them in a perfect world, and some of them, their lives aren't as great as what they make it out to be. Just follow the Word of God and the basic principles that God will give to you. And in fact, that's why I want you to go to Acts chapter 16 at the very beginning. I want to show you a little bit of Timothy's father to teach you something about his mother. But before I do that, let's go to a word of prayer. And I want to preach to you today on moms, just please God. This idea of you can be trying to please this person and that person, you can be trying to keep up with all the books and what they're recommending, you can try to do what your neighbor's doing or another lady at church is doing. I just want to encourage you, just bottom line, just strive to please the Lord. I want to talk to you about that today, but let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just so thankful for the relationship that we can have with you, a perfect Father, and one that doeth all things well. As was mentioned by Karen earlier, what an incredible, incredible, all-wise God you are. There is none like thee. And Father, you do wonders. Just speaking, and a hippopotamus appears. With the size and the ability and the agility, and to keep an animal, which I was focusing on, Father, and sorry, but I just focusing on how you could keep an animal alive that size just on grass and just simple grazing. Just incredible how you've made these creatures. Father, thank you for giving us the moms that we have and the ladies who have really set their main task of just bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I know others have missed that. They weren't walking with you, maybe weren't even a Christian when their children were in the home, and maybe have some regret in their lives, and Father, there's nothing they can get back. May they just move forward, being the best mother, grandmother, great-grandmother they can be today. Father, we thank you for the godly heritage that we have, those of us who have it to enjoy. And Father, but I pray for those who don't, that they may establish it now in their lives. Thank you for the godly ladies you put within the body of Christ here. We understand, we say we go to church, but we are the church. We are the assembly. I think we know what we mean by the terminology. But Father, I thank you for the godly ladies that you have given to us. And now, Father, we just want to encourage them from your word, want to give them something to help them in the next year of life, in just striving to please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I took you to the book of Acts in the 16th chapter. Paul was an evangelist, and his evangelism was church planting, and he is actually in the 16th chapter going to be in his second missionary journey. Upon the first missionary journey, the Bible says he went to Derbe and Lystra, and it's there where he meets the family of Timothy and is able to have a huge influence on Timothy's life and would bring him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. As you read then, very interestingly, in the second appearance of Paul, it says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus." Notice now he's a disciple. The word disciple means a follower, learner. So he's a disciple, the son of a certain woman. Now listen to this, a son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. So she was Jewish and a believer. Those are two different things. And let me ask you this, dear lady, those of you who are trying to raise your children, are you a believer? Has there been that point in time, like happened here in Eunice's life, or like would happen in Lydia's life, and later on in actually this 16th chapter, Lydia was worshiping the Lord but had yet not believed. So she's trying to be a worshiper, but she didn't have that personal relationship with God. Let me ask you, do you have that personal relationship with God? Has there been a time where you not only believe that He existed, but you're trusting alone in Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, His forgiveness of your sins to save your soul? How can you greatly influence your children without first knowing God yourself? And let me encourage you to consider that. And if you need to know more, we would love to share with you and show you how you can become a born-again Christian. So here's Timotheus. He's a believer now. He's a disciple, a follower, learner. His mom is a Jewess, and also she's a believer, but, and I want you to notice that word here, but his father was a Greek. Now, it's not only saying, I believe in this passage, that he wasn't Jewish. I think it's also saying that he wasn't a believer. Now, let me say, that brings up two points here that I think is really going to maybe help you ladies. And it's this, it's easier to please the Lord than to please people. Again, you can get caught up in reading all the books and trying to keep up with the neighbor next door, the other ladies in the church. But I want you to know it is a lot easier just to please the Lord than striving to please people. And I'm sure there was a lot of people disappointed in Eunice when she married Timothy's father. Number one, it was going against Jewism in marrying a Greek. Number two, it went against Christianity in marrying somebody who wasn't a believer. But here's the beautiful thing about God. When you do disobey Him, when you do, maybe I'll say it this way, disappoint Him, when you do feel like you let Him down, He is a God of perfect forgiveness and of perfect restoration. And for Eunice, now we don't know all the details. We don't know if maybe she got saved after getting married. We don't know that. But we do know this, that it would not have been God's will for her to be married to an unsaved man and so forth. But God, in his mercy, forgives her and restores her and allows her to bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, ladies, maybe you're in a single parent home, and maybe you say, wow, I regret some of the decisions I made in the past. Or maybe you're in a single Christian home, as you're the only one saved within the home. I want you to know that, number one, it's easier to please God than those around you, and God will forgive you, and God will give you the opportunity to bring that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you don't have to live in regret. God wants you to lift up your heads. God wants you to shine for his honor and glory. God wants you to focus in bringing your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So I wanted to show you that verse about Timothy's father to point out a hopefully an encouraging truth or a couple encouraging truths about the mother's aspect of just please the Lord and recognize that God will forgive you and give you opportunities in the future. Now, would you turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 3? What a great book. Paul is writing now to this son in the faith, and God had given him a father that was Christian, a Christian father, a Christian mentor. Timothy is now, by the writing of this book, I did some research, he's probably been saved about 20 years. He's probably right now in his mid to late 30s, and he has been in the ministry now probably about 17 years by my calculations, around that period of time. He's now a pastor, and he's a pastor at a church that Paul had established in the church of, or in the city, excuse me, of Ephesus. And as moms, I'm sure Eunice had some initial ambitions, some initial goals for bringing up Timothy. Maybe that he'd be polite. Maybe that he would keep some of the Jewish traditions of their home. Maybe that he would be good in this area and that area of life. I don't know what ambitions she may have had, and I'm not going to presume. But I want you to also understand that God has a design and a desire for how he wants you to bring up that child. His ultimate goal is that you would bring that child up to glorify him by making this first step that they have to first get saved. For all have sinned and done what? Come short of the glory of God. What does that word, what does it mean to come short of it? Well, picture shooting an arrow, the arrow just falls short of the target. It's not to the left or right or shooting over it. It just doesn't even get there. You can bring up a child with your ambitions and your goals, and they may miss the mark of glorifying God. You say, well, I just want them to be a hard worker. I want them to get a good paying job. I want them to go to college. Do you realize they could do all those things and still miss glorifying God with their lives? The Lord taught this repeatedly. And my mind was drawn most, actually, probably to Matthew 18 and 19, to this basic principle that people can get saved by simply having a childlike faith. I just couldn't find one verse to share with you that just summed it all up perfectly. Maybe Mark 10, 14, and 15 would really draw it together for you well. But the realization is you don't have to know all kind of things about God in order to become a child of God. You just have to have a childlike faith. See, without being saved, we've come short of the glory of God. The first concern that you ought to have for your child's life is that they become a Christian. Your ultimate goal is that they glorify God with their lives. But your first concern has to be that they become a Christian. Now, as we're about to read, that was one of the major concerns of not only Eunice, his mother, but do you remember his grandmother's name? Her name was Lois, found in the first chapter. And so we have this mother-grandmother that are bringing up this child, Timothy. and allowing him to hear the preaching of the Word of God so that he would come to a point of salvation. Now let me draw this thought here together before going forward. Sometimes parents get all focused on getting their kids saved. Now, I remember this happening a couple times in the body of Christ here. Parents are all focused, they're all concerned about their children getting saved, and then once they're saved, it's kind of like, ha, shoo, that's over, done. Now I can relax. Your parent, that's when the real work begins. Because they haven't reached God's ultimate goal. Do you realize this? Picture this with me. Your child can get saved and still fall short of the glory of God. Your child can be a Christian and still miss the mark. So sometimes as a parent, you get all concerned and all worked up about your children not getting saved yet, and you're trying to get them out to more services. And then once they get saved, you go away on weekends and don't get them out to church, and you don't get near as earnest about being in the Word of God and being the example you ought to be and being faithful to the services and ministries. And you kind of are telling me by that lifestyle, your goal was different than God's. Again, awesome that you're concerned about their soul and wanting to see them to get into heaven, but that can almost become selfish. Our ultimate goal ought to be to please God, not please self. And so again, just challenging your thinking there a little bit. So number one, I do want to talk about this. Mom, make sure your child or your children are Christians. That ought to be our first concern. And would you look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, what a wonderful passage of Scripture. And notice beginning then in verse number 13, where he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou," this is Paul writing to Timothy, "so in the world around you that's in decline," the world around you that's spiritually in decay, he says, "but I want you to continue. I want you to stay, thou, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I looked that up. Of whom? Who is that referring to? Well, back in chapter 1 in verse number 5, he does talk about his mother and grandmother. But Paul is also an influence upon his life. So who is the whom? Is it singular or plural? So I said, I'm going to go look at all the verses that use that word. And I found one key verse that made it even more unclear for me. I found Matthew chapter 12 and verse 48. You might want to jot it down. Which was saying, "Who is thy mother and whom are thy brothers," referring to Mary and the disciples. The whom in that verse was used both as a singular and a plural. It was used, translated who there. But the same Greek word was a singular in one portion and a plural in the other. That didn't help me at all, did it? I still don't know if this is referring to the mother, grandmother, or is this referring to Paul, but I kind of honed it in, I think. Again, not trying to be dogmatic here, but in verse number 16, "and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." I think Paul was probably referring in verse number 14 to himself in his ministry with Timothy, but also not overlooking the impact that Lois and Eunice had had on Timothy's life, "and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Dear moms, make sure that your children have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you to read to them. They used the Scriptures according to Paul and what he said here. Paul was using the Scriptures to influence Timothy's life. They were maybe singing him songs, and that's another added thing you can do. They got him to preaching services. You know what? One of the desires of parents is often this: boy, I want to be the one that leads my child to Christ. But I want you to know, while Lois and Eunice were impacting and showing him from a child, the Lord didn't allow him to get saved through their direct witness, but through Paul's. So how important it is. I think sometimes parents just say, we don't have to go to church. I can bring my child to Christianity. I can bring my child to salvation on my own. Dear friend, it may not be God's will in that way. And allow God to use every opportunity. Take your children out and hear the preaching of the Word. Take them to the evangelistic services. Take them to a missions conference. My mom and dad allowed me the opportunity to hear missionaries, and it was actually a missionary that led me to Christ. I can still remember that missionary, probably largely due to the pictures that we would still have. But I can remember that missionary. And that morning, I still remember that morning, coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and running upstairs out of that Christian Missionary Alliance little church there up in Mount Wolf in the area up there where I was raised. And I remember going up and finding my dad that was an usher and telling him I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. So I got led to Christ by a preacher, but I wanted to tell my dad about it, and of course my mom. And so again, dear parent, make sure that your child, your children are Christians. Now, you can't replace the Holy Spirit. You can't force them. What you want to do is just allow the Holy Spirit to work. Continue to sow the seed. Continue to water the seed. And talk to God about it and ask Him to work. And so the Lord did in this wonderful life of Timothy. And how greatly Timothy went on to be used of the Lord. Because beginning in their faithfulness, a mother and a grandmother brought him up. Verse number 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Same is true for your children. The Scriptures are able to help them to understand the need of salvation and how they come to Jesus Christ through faith alone. Secondly, then, moms, make sure your child or your children are becoming Christ-like. I could have worded that a number of ways. I thought through a number of ways that I could have worded this point. We could say, make sure they are growing as a Christian. I could say, make sure that they are glorifying God as a Christian. The reality of it is, again, and this is what I'm trying to get to, and I'm turning this way to help with the watching this, that you can come short of the glory of God even though they're Christians. You see, a child could get saved and then doesn't go on to live for the Lord. A child could live a selfish life. A child could live a dishonest life. Could be a Christian and not glorifying God with their lives. So as a parent, you don't want to just lead them to Christ. You want them to grow up to become like Christ. And so look at this passage. Now, we would say as Baptists, that we believe that God's Word is our final authority for faith and practice, meaning this is all that we need to declare what you need to get saved and what you need to live. I can bring in passages from Peter and so forth. This is all that we need for life and godliness. This passage shows us that. The Scriptures make us wise unto salvation through faith, verse 15. Then all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the maturing Christian, may be throughly furnished unto all good works. There's the practice. So God's Word is all you need. You don't need all the books written by all the other ladies that have a farmette and have chickens and have pigs and have goats. You just need the Word of God. And you just need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's all you need to get them to the faith, and it's all you need to get them to the practice of Christianity. In fact, you know what? There's so many things here that I'm never going to live up to. I should, that I'm not going to attain in this life. And here we are trying to get them to learn to do chores on a farm or have a big garden. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, but sometimes we put our focus or our emphasis in the wrong area of life. And so as I've already quoted then, this idea is this, let's go beyond being burdened that they get saved. Let's say, wow, praise the Lord. They've now made it to the step to where now they can glorify God. Before they were saved, they came short of the glory of God. Now they're at least can glorify God. They're His children. Now I've got them to the place where now I can change my focus from getting them saved to getting them to become like Christ. Some would say you're not really a parent until you have more than one child. For instance, Seth really isn't a parent at this point. If his dear Aaliyah is sitting in the back seat saying, quit touching me, he's got more issues than he has to imagine, because there is no one else in the back seat. It's when you got two in the back seat and there's an imaginary line and he crossed the line or she reached over the line and they're looking at me and so forth. That's when you become a parent. When you got two children in the home, that's been joked about in the past. And of course, you're a parent as soon as you have one child. But the reality of it is you might have one child that's a Christian and then one child that's not. And so in one child, you're working to try to plant the seed and to water the seed and to get them to become like a get them to become a Christian. And the other one, you're trying to get them to become like Christ. So again, as a parent, don't lose the focus of your ultimate goal. Moms, picture Hannah. Wasn't that brought up to us earlier? Samuel and Hannah. By the way, in the early part, I didn't have a cheat sheet like Seth did. And number two, I wasn't trying to jump in so quickly as to show up the kids. I was giving you children a chance to answer, and I wasn't trying to be like him. But anyway, this idea, remember Hannah brings up little Samuel, and her whole idea, her whole focus was, I want to bring him up for the Lord. And that really needs to become your ultimate goal. Dear moms, I understand you may have a desire to become a hard worker, and I trust you do, and I trust they will. And you might have a desire to go off to college, and if that's the way it works and the Lord leads, I hope that does happen for them, and so on and so forth. But make sure you realize the ultimate goal is simply that they please God. In fact, could it be that your child does something that pleases the Lord and it displeases you? That would be sad. Say, well, it wasn't what I was expecting out of that. I'm sure some kids have gone to the mission field and it's displeased some moms. So, moms, just because the Lord has given you a child doesn't mean that you're a finished product yet either. I'm sure at times the Lord's having to polish up your desires and your goals and your ambitions and making you more like Christ so that you can be an example of the believer to those small children in your home. Again, moms, bottom line I'm trying to drive us to is just please the Lord. You don't have to keep up with everyone else. You don't have to keep up with my expectations. I'm trying to shepherd you. I'm trying to help bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But if I even as a pastor get in the way of that, you just need to please the Lord. There's a time youth leaders, Sunday school teachers that get in the way of the ultimate goal that you see of bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to glorify the Lord. You just need to please the Lord. And from this, I've taken it from verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for areas of our lives, like when we're knocked down, to help stand us back up right again and help instruct us in what we are to do and help to get us focused and going on our way, that the man of God, the one that is now maturing, may be perfect. That's the idea of becoming complete and more mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, sometimes there's one area or two areas we want them to excel in. God says, I want them fully like my Son, Jesus Christ. And so as a parent, we look beyond the single goal of just wanting them saved to the ultimate goal of becoming like Christ. Moms, just please the Lord. Thank you for investing in your children. Thank you for praying for them. Thank you for teaching them songs. Thank you for teaching them Bible stories. I thank Karen and Beth and Becky and the ones that have been coming alongside during this time and teaching your children, Annie, and with the various things that are taking place in our live stream. They're just there to help. They're just there to give another Bible lesson. Like Karen said, you can follow up now this afternoon and talk about the hippo and what it teaches you about God and so forth. But I want you to just do this. Put everything else that everybody's writing aside. I would encourage you, until you master what God has for you, don't get all overly focused on whatever everybody else has for you. Just please the Lord. Come to Christ, bring your children to Christ, and may all of you ultimately glorify Him with your lives. And if we can help you with any of these portions of the Christian life and showing you how to truly come to Jesus Christ, please, please contact us. We'd love to show you more. Let's pray. Your Father, how important it is that our moms be the moms you want them to be. And some of them are wearing themselves out trying to do this, that, and the others, trying to teach your kids crafts, trying to teach them how to garden properly, trying to teach them how to can, trying to teach them how to cook, And Father, sometimes they need to strip some of that away, or at least cut back, and just, what will please you? Help our moms, Lord. It's a difficult age. Father, they need your help. And I ask them to grace them with it. Strengthen them even just today. May they see themselves as honored in an honorable position where they have such an opportunity to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition that brings them their children in a right relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We're going to take some time to slip out to the parking lot at this point to be able to greet those that have come in the service. Again, that service is going to be going on whenever we're having church here. And so tonight, I think Andy's preaching tonight. And so you can come back again into the parking lot and listen that way if you like, or on live stream. May the Lord greatly bless your day. Again, mothers, happy Mother's Day.